Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's HIGHWAY.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
I have a loud voice at home, but not not at church.
Oh, I was going to say
I need
that
a mic. You heard Rob told you how we argued in the car to church the one Sunday morning, and how I was shouting at him. But I don't always do that. But anyway, if you weren't here, just pray for me, okay? It's wonderful to be back in South Africa and to be in this church and just to see what God is doing. Our church in Hong Kong has been praying for this time. We've been out, it's just over 2 weeks now. We had a lot of ministry in Johannesburg, and now we're in the KwaZulu-Natal area and looking forward to what God is going to do. And so our church is praying for this time. And I know that you guys have prayed for this time. And I just feel that this morning there was just such an atmosphere of triumphalism. Yeah. You know, triumphant. It was Jesus, the triumphant one. And he was just like moving amongst everybody in this place, just up and down the aisles. And I just believe that, like that song we sang yesterday, that there's nothing that is impossible. You can be facing a Red Sea in your situation, something that looks totally impossible. But for God, he will bring you through, even if it looks like you at the waterfront there and you've got the Egyptians bearing down on you and it looks like there's no way forward. I'm telling you, God has got a way forward. If he has to, he'll part those waters. If he has to, you will walk over those waters, whatever it takes. So, do not lose your confidence at a time like that. If you are facing things like that, do not shrink back. Do not lose your confidence, but keep your confidence in him, because I'm telling you, he's going to bring you through.
Yeah.
And just that sense of triumphantness this morning was that I just felt God saying, he's got it, you know, he's got it. He's working in your situation. And atmosphere is an amazing thing. In atmospheres, things can happen. Things can change. And, you know, when Steve said that with the little girl and boy from Pinetown, the Nazareth, I don't believe there's any kind of a Nazareth syndrome here. I believe that God is here this morning.
Yeah.
And there's signs and wonders and miracles that are about to break out. There's no Nazareth syndrome here. There's faith in this place.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because your faith isn't in Rob and me. Your faith is in him.
Yeah.
And if you keep your eyes on him, I tell you, things can happen. There's an atmosphere of faith here. There's an atmosphere of expectation here this morning. And wait and see. Don't wait till the end of the meeting. Pull on God. Pull on that atmosphere. It's an atmosphere of faith. Pull on that. And you can have your miracle. You can have your breakthrough sitting in your chair before Rob even finishes the message. But the message is very important. I believe it's going to be a great message this morning.
I agree.
But I wrote it for him, but no.
The message is going great so far.
No. Lovely to be here. Jan, Steve, thank you for the invitation. We love you guys. We love what God is doing here in this church.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to partner with you. We pray for the churches in Hong Kong. For the, you know, the churches in South Africa, we pray for you in Hong Kong, and we are just amazed at what God is doing.
Yeah.
There's an acceleration in the spirit of what he's wanting to do in these end times. So get ready. It's not the time to back off. It's the time to run ahead with this gospel. We've got the answer. Amen. We have the answer for South Africa. We have the answer for the world. And thank you for your hospitality, your kindness to us, your prayers for us. Honestly, we would not be able to do what we do if it was not for the prayers and the grace of God. He literally carries us, he energizes us, and he just, he's like always there encouraging us, and your prayers encourage us tremendously. But thank you so much.
Thank you. There she goes, Glenda Michelle Rufus. Are you going to get tired of hearing me say this? But we've been married 42 years. She's turning 60 next April. And I've cancelled ministry around that time, and I'm taking her on a Mediterranean cruise. Well, let me just say that in a faith declaration, I'm sure you're all going to agree. I'm sure you're not going to hold back on this declaration. I'm sure you're not going to be unbelieving about this. I really believe in a matter of a few years, the Springboks will be the greatest rugby playing nation in the world. I just want to drive any last remnant of depression and oppression, spirits that are all black, demonic black spirits of oppression, they've just left the room with Elvis and Marilyn Monroe. They've just left the room. Because we will be the top, most powerful rugby playing nation within 3 years. Come on! We cannot go down any further from there. We are going upwards. We are ascending like eagles into the high places of victory. But you know what? I really believe that. I really do. Now, would you turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1, and what a delight it's to be back in our Pinetown. This is where we heard God in Crompton Street, Little Waring's Bakery. God spoke to me audibly and anointed me. And from there, we've gone literally around the world. And this year, we spoke to multiple thousands of people. And just in New York alone, we spoke to multiple thousands of leaders from 85 nations of the earth. And all I'm saying is we're amazed at how wonderful our Father is. He will use you if you just know it's Him and don't boast in yourself. And we're just a little boy and a little girl from Pinetown. And if you think we're exaggerating that, there are nations you may never have heard of, like Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan. These nations around the world that we always tell them we're a little boy and a little girl from a beautiful place called Pinetown, South Africa. And this is such a joy to be here. Now I'm going to cry. How stupid is that? To be here in Pinetown with you. Couldn't think of a most sacred, precious place that has got such honored memories for Glenda and I. Anyway, this is stupid. I'm crying. I can't believe it. Okay, stop it now. Oh, that's ridiculous. Okay. I'm going to talk on the blood of Jesus today. And the miracle is going to be a very short sermon. And the laughter of unbelief. It's no one can blame you for. And I'm just going to simply ask you to stand together and let's read the Bible together. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to pray. And we can read verse 18 and verse 19. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And Father, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We thank you that wherever the blood of Jesus is applied, the Holy Spirit manifests in power, anointing, deliverance, healing, freedom, and peace, and salvation, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as our great high priest. You, through the eternal Spirit, offered up your blood, even to cleanse the heavenly utensils. So within heaven itself, there's no record of our faults and of our failures and our sins and our mistakes. But through this precious blood, we stand blameless, without accusation, or without condemnation from heaven. We thank you there is a new and living way by which we draw near through the blood of Jesus into the very holy of holies. Without fear, inferiority, we don't come crushed or crippled with condemnation. We come with royal dignity, with our heads held high in wonder that we are the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. That we are loved by you, Father. That nothing can separate us from your love. That we, as the Highway Community Church, we stand here today, Lord, in grace, knowing you've endorsed us and embraced us and approved of us and authorized us, and you've given us double portion dominion to crown our souls, to be the ambassadors of the highest government in the universe, authorized to bring hope to the city of Pinetown, to the nation of South Africa, and to the nations beyond. And so we declare over this wonderful church, Father, your loving heavenly invitations, your summons to ever-expanding horizons of favor and influence. Bless every family in this house. Bless the children, Father. Bless the singles, Lord God. Bless them and honor them with a grace and a hope of the right person coming their way. Arrange from your goodness, Lord. Let everyone in this house be healed today. Let everyone in this house hear from heaven today and know what to do. That you know all the details about them, all the issues, Father, that they're facing. That the demonic wants to make so threatening and complicated. But Lord, simplify things today. Let the house hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, who watches over our souls and leads us into green pastures and beside still waters. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, none of us want to live empty lives. Empty lives leave a vacuum, and the universe does not tolerate a vacuum. The devil loves empty places. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said when demons are cast out, one demon goes into dry places and looks for seven more evil spirits and comes back and finds the place has been swept clean and it's in order, but the Bible says in Matthew 12 that they can see that it's empty. The blood of Jesus delivers us from an empty way of life. The blood of Jesus makes you walk in a dimension of dominion that tolerates no opposition from devils. That they are afraid of you because of the power of the blood of Jesus. Superstitious people around the world have always believed this power in blood. Our modern society, with all of its technology and science, which I'm grateful to God for, and yet it views things like blood as primitive and barbaric. And yet any one of you, and probably numbers of you here, have been for blood transfusions that saved your life. Because the power of the life is in the blood. And the book of Leviticus says that the life of every creature is in the blood. The blood is a mystery to science. It is a mystery to people who want to teach evolution, the Darwinist version of evolution. Because the blood is so complicated that it had to come fully formed. It could not evolve progressively. The power of life is in the blood. If the power of the life of every creature is in the blood, then the value of the blood, the worthiness of the blood, is determined by the life that is in the creature. That's why the blood of Jesus was in the person who had infinite life. And the blood of Jesus, therefore, has infinite value and infinite worth. Because I don't care who people want to worship, whether it's Muhammad, or they don't worship Muhammad, but they worship Allah, Chichishna Mare Pabu, whether they want to worship Moses, they want to worship a Buddha, they want to worship any kind of guru. We all know that they had blood from a natural father. But the blood of Jesus Christ does not come from the corrupted blood of first Adam and the lineage of the fallen human race. That's why he stands as a towering, unique person, Jesus Christ, because he did not have the natural descendancy of fallen first Adam's corrupted blood. But he was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, overshadowing a virgin's womb. And the blood that was in the blood of Jesus Christ, Acts 20 says, is the literal blood of God. So there is no blood anywhere on the planet that can compare to the blood of Jesus. And in the old covenant types and shadows, they used to apply the blood seven times on the mercy seat. And today I want to talk to you about the seven applications of the blood of Jesus, the seven benefits of the blood of Jesus. I've only preached this message twice, once up in Johannesburg, once in Hong Kong. And every time I preach it, miracles happen. People get healed. Deliverance happens. Freedom comes. So I want to talk. Seven places Jesus applied his blood. The first place he applied his blood was in the Garden of Gethsemane. So much was the stress of the agony of anticipating that he would be treated like the most sinful person that had ever been on the planet. God would take a magnifying glass and focus all of the sin of man from the beginning of time to the end of time and focus it on the immaculate and innocent person of Jesus. And he that had enjoyed inter-Trinitarian love before time began, within the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, yet three persons, enjoying inter-Trinitarian love. The fellowship, where they were half-fiving each other when they got round to creation. Every day they said, it is good. Who said that? There was no human beings to say that. The creation had just begun. The Trinity was saying within themselves, it is good, it is good. They were talking and half-fiving, it is good. Amen. And Jesus was about to be separated from his Father. He was going to take the punishment that was for our peace. He was going to take rejection and judgment and the curse of the law. And he was going to be cut off. And yet so he was agonizing. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible says he shed drops of blood. That blood was applied so that you and I could know no agony of soul. No terror or trauma of soul. No worry or anxiety. Is it possible that the Father would reject me? Is it possible that the Father would be turning his back on me? Has he hated me now? Has he lost confidence in me because of my sin and my failures and all my broken promises? Jesus shed his blood in anticipation of being separated from the Father so that you and I, under the application of that blood, will always have shalom Elohim. Peace in our souls, justification by faith, a covenant of peace with God. And he takes an oath never to remove his peace from us, an irreversible oath. Why don't you just lift your hands for a moment and say, thank you for that blood, Father, that was shed in Gethsemane, that, oh, I don't need to worry or be anxious. I don't need to sweat drops of blood. His blood is enough for me. Thank you, Lord. It's also for just the normal anxieties of life, agony of soul, the traumas that we go through, the times of feeling hopeless, major financial debts that we just don't know how we're going to pay. God's got an answer. And if you walk in peace, if you walk in peace, you will trample agony of heart underfoot. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus has rescued me and Glenda from times where we thought there's no way out. And yet we found peace in the midst of the most traumatic tragedy and difficulty. Can you say amen? There's a place of peace. Sometimes we face things that is impossible. We can't imagine how we're going to get out. And the voice of the devil is saying to you, how are you going to do this? And then you turn to your wife or to your husband, yes, how are we going to do this? And the issue that you need to know is you don't need to start from a place, I know how to get out of here. You've got to start from a place, I don't know how to get out of here, but I know I will. When you say, I know I will, it activates in you a receptive spirit to heaven's grace. And in that receptive spirit, it magnetically attracts into your life the answers and the solutions and the wisdom, the opportunities and the right peoples and the know-how. And God begins to give you how-tos in that spirit of receptivity. When you have peace, you crush the devil under your feet. Romans 6:20. Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Amen? So when you're anxious and you're worried, you say, Father, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood that was shed in the agony of soul of Jesus Christ. And I bring my petitions and I bring them before you with thanksgiving and praise. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, sets up a sentinel, a guardian around your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. When you have the peace, you may not have the answers yet, but the peace is the down payment proof. The answers are on their way. Number two, Jesus shed his blood before Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the high priest of the old covenant. Jesus is the glorious, infallible high priest of the new covenant. Jesus is not a high priest according to ancestral lineage. He is a high priest according to an indestructible life. And so when a high priest, Jesus, met the high priest of the new covenant, met the high priest, Caiaphas, of the old covenant, Caiaphas, the old covenant high priest, was very brutal with the high priest of the new covenant. And the high priest of the old covenant had men throw a cloth over Jesus' head and punch him and punch him and punch him in the face. And say, prophesy to us. Tell us who hit you. Mocking his supernatural lifestyle. They hit him so hard. They punched him so long. That Isaiah 52 says that at the cross, or not at the cross, it says, it actually just says, you read the last few verses, it says his face was so disfigured that it was beyond human recognition. He shed blood from his face. So that you and I could have the divine recognition in our faces. So when we lift our faces to his face, we have a recognition with the Father's face because of the blood that was shed. That we look at him with innocent, open faces. Not because we're not having done anything wrong or failed, but because of the precious blood that shone from his face. Amen. But you lift your hands, lift your face and say, Father, thank you for the blood that was shed in his face, that disfigured his face, that my face is reconfigured so lovingly and redemptively to be in the image of his face, that when I look to you with a face of beauty in your eyes. Father, I can recognize your face because my face has got the divine recognition in it. Thank you in Jesus' name. And then Caiaphas sent Jesus off to Pontius Pilate. He represented the pride of Rome. And the first thing that Pontius Pilate had was Jesus whipped. Now, we could stand here for an hour and talk about the science of what that whipping meant. We don't have time. But even in the Psalms, it says his back was so whipped that his ribs were showing through. And they hit him hard, and they hit him 38 times. With all kinds of lead bolts and all kinds of stuff that ripped flesh. And I'm not here to paint the graphic picture, but it was graphic. How he even survived that is a miracle. And the Bible says that by his stripes, we were healed. And the blood flowed through those stripes. And you know, the amazing thing for me is we don't need to have faith to conquer cancer. We don't need to have faith to conquer what my wife had, an aneurysm. We don't need to have faith to conquer tumors. We don't need to have faith to conquer the common cold. We don't need faith to conquer sickness. Jesus' faith in the shedding of his blood already conquered those sicknesses and diseases. But we do need faith because without faith it's impossible to please God. We don't need faith to conquer sickness. We need faith to just receive the free gift of healing. And so simple. And number four, Pilate had a thorn of crowns shoved on his head. And he bled from the head. So our heads, through that blood, are crowned with glory and honor. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews, that we are crowned with glory and honor. And we also know that when first Adam, Jesus being last Adam, Jesus called last Adam second man. Adam was first man, first Adam. And in the federal headship of first Adam, the human race fell. But in the federal headship of Christ Jesus, all those repent of their sin and believe on Jesus, they come into last Adam, second man. It's not going to be a third Adam because Jesus is perfect and fulfilled everything. It's not going to be a third man. You're in Christ. If you're born again, you're in Christ. Today, if you're not saved, if you've never been convicted of your sin, you've never been convicted of your rebellion against this glorious, majestic God, if you've never truly humbled your heart and said, Lord, I've sinned against you, I deserve judgment and hell, but I am under conviction and I want to be born again and I will receive Jesus today. If you've never been convicted of sin, you've never been saved. Because you have to be convicted of your sin before you can believe on a Savior. And today, if you've never truly believed on Jesus, today the love of God's here to save you. Can you say amen? And He wants to save you. He's already called you. He's already called you out. When first Adam fell, a glorious world that was not subject to corruption or frustration, the whole ecosystem of the planet, there was nothing dysfunctional about DNA or genetics. Before the fall of man, the earth was perfect. But after the fall of man, man did no longer work under the power of the glory. Now man worked in a cursed earth system by the sweat of his brow. And thorns and thistles were made manifest for the first time. So onto the Redeemer's head was a crown of thorns. So that your mind can be at peace. You can be crowned with glory. You can come up with witty inventions. You can have the mind of Christ. You can work in the new economic system. It's called the kingdom. Where your resources... Paul says in Philippians 4, he says, God meets all your needs according to His riches and glory that are in Christ Jesus. So we go to work and we labor and we work 8 hours or whatever we work, but we work in a different rhythm when we understand the blood and we understand the blessing of God upon the seed of Abraham. And so why don't you just lift your hands and say, Father, thank you that by stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Father, that He was crowned with crown of thorns, that I could be crowned with glory and honor, that I can have the wealth of the mind of Christ. I can have the wisdom of God, that you bless me, Lord, with witty inventions, solutions, and answers. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And then they put the nails into his hands, and he bled from the hands. And the hands in Scripture always talk about the release of the blessing, the release of the power of God. Out of God's hands, it says in Habakkuk, come the fire and the power of God. If you humble yourself, He'll lift you up by His mighty hand. There's something about having someone's loving hands put on you in grace and imparting the blessings. Jesus would take the children up in His arms and put His hands on them and He would bless them. Every night when my children were small, I'd go to bed after their beds after they'd fallen asleep and put my hands on their heads and declare the blessing of God over them, that it doesn't matter what will happen to them. And in the future, if they do things wrong, my God will always bring about redemption for them and bring them through. And for the first 5-10 years of their life, I'd prophesy over them with laying of hands and declare the blessing of God over my children. Something about it, laying hands, like my hands now, if you could feel them, if you could touch my hands now, you would feel literally a tangible, supernatural substance of heaven coming out of them. Because when His hands bled, your hands became hands to bless. And so when I discipline my children, which I do believe, you know, the rod of instruction to the seat of learning, I'd do everything I could not to use my hands to discipline. I'd use a rod because I wanted them to know hands for the blessing. Amen. So hands. He blesses the work of hands. Lift your hands. Say, Lord, look at these hands. They are clean through the blood that came out of His hands. Father, we thank you for our hands are blessed. Lord, these hands might have done some terrible things in previous years. I mean, I mean, I've hit a U.S. Marine with these hands, Father. He was trying to hug my wife. You remember that, Lord? Or maybe you've forgotten that. And his face bled, Lord. And I felt good at the time. But anyway, but he had put his arms around my wife. So, Lord, I want to thank you. We've got hands that have done some things, maybe some evil things. But thank you today. They are clean, Father. These are holy hands because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the blessing on everyone's hands. And then his feet. The nails went into his feet. That was the blood shed for us to walk in the dominion of God. He said to Joshua and Israel, wherever your feet shall tread, you shall take possession of it. Every time, Glenda knows this, every time we get off a plane, and we've been to, I think, 10 or 9 or 10 countries this year, I can't remember. But every time I get off the plane, I don't care how jet lagged I get off that plane and I walk into a new nation like this. I take possession of the inheritance of the kingdom that you've assigned me and Glenda for in this nation. Where we walk, we have dominion because of the power of the blood that ran down his feet. Can you say amen? Amen. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Romans 16:20. You have dominion. It doesn't matter if you're a big man, small man, or a small man like me. It is what your feet are carrying because of the blood that pierced his feet. Why don't you just lift your feet? Seriously, this is a family. We can do this. Lift your feet. Those are beautiful feet that bring good news. The gospel of peace set upon your feet. Someone, you're not lifting your feet up. Come on, don't be so shy. This is South Africa, man. Just lift your feet up and say, Lord, look at my beautiful feet. Lord, I thank you. They are washed in the blood. And we're going to walk with dominion. We're going to walk with dominion. That office appointment. I got some things coming up soon I've got to do. I need wisdom. I need grace. I've got to walk into some challenging situation quite soon. I'm going to walk in with the peace of God under the dominion my feet carry. The love of God, the wisdom of God, the purpose of God. The Lord orders the steps of a man and a woman. Can you say amen? Now, number 7, and the sermon's finished. See, you shouldn't have laughed when I said it was going to be short, eh? But some of you say, no, maybe we should have, because he hasn't finished yet. And we know he takes 3 times to finish. No, this is the last one. This is the last point. Now, all 6 of those are for us. Number of man is for us. The 7th one we bled is for him. He bled from his side. They pierced his side with a spear. And blood and water came out. The water speaks of the washing of the water of the word. And blood came out of his side. And this is where the church, the bride, was birthed. Through the blood that came out of his side. For first, the blood and water meant, scientifically, he had already left his body and committed his spirit to the Father. When Adam was looking at all the animals, and God asked him, look at all the animals and name them. The whole purpose was God, on purpose, was wanting Adam, because he said Adam could find nothing to compare with himself. God knew that Adam wanted a bride. How did God know that Adam wanted a bride? Because God had made Adam not from the earth, he made his body from the earth, but God spoke Adam from his own substance. God said, let us, Trinity, make man in our image. So God spoke to the internal substance of his divine being and spoke it into Adam and then breathed into roughly formed together mud, and Adam became a living soul. Now, I know that sounds primitive to modern scientists, but we could talk scientifically about that. Believe me, I've done almost a doctorate in creation versus macroevolution. And spoke to the highest professors in Adelaide University, Australia. I studied. Macroevolution is the most unscientific, stupid, mumbo-jumbo, blind faith religion. But God knew that Adam wanted a bride because God put into Adam all who God is. Before the fall of man, before Adam had sinned, God, Adam had divine image. Adam wasn't God, by the way. the Son of God. But what he had in him was the image and likeness of God. So he had God's desires, God's imaginations, God's passions. That's what God put in him. So how did God know that Adam wanted a bride? Because God always wanted a bride from all eternity. To love her, to spend time with her, to get to know his bride. You are the bride. God's greatest desire is you. He wants to be married to you happily ever after. He's got all time and eternity to get to know you and you to get to know him. God knew that Adam wanted a bride because God knew that he wants a bride. And if you want to know more about that, listen to the first session teaching yesterday morning. And so God put Adam to sleep, keep him under anesthetic so he does not know the mystery of woman. Because men are happily confused about this. We just know that we can't always figure it out. But we just go, that's right there, yes dear. And so God pierced Adam's side, took out his rib, and woman came from that. Bible says God formed man but fashioned woman. Man was roughly squeezed together, the Hebrew says. Woman was skillfully and delicately handicrafted. That's the Hebrew words. I'm not making that up. If you read the Bible, it'll say God made man and he made woman, but they're two totally different Hebrew words. And Adam said, whoa, man. No, woman. Which in the Bible, in that Hebrew, it means woman. Woman means come from man. So Eve's bride came from the side of first Adam. The church, the bride of Jesus Christ, came from his side by the flow of blood and water. And yeah, this was for him. You are the glorious riches of his inheritance. So why don't you stand together? You are the first witnesses of the shortest sermon Rob has ever preached in his entire life. You must have a high level of faith in this place. And just to spend, now that we've got hours, no, let's just spend, can the musicians just come please? And let's just spend a moment here, not a long time, but we're just going to release the power of God, the miraculous. How many of you are aware of God's, two things of God's presence here? His presence is very clearly here. There's two distinctive qualities or attributes manifesting quite clearly right now of his presence. Number one is clearly his love for you. And number two is his pleasure in you. He takes pleasure in you. That's what's in the room right now. And there's also that attribute peace. And I just want you to just close your eyes for a moment, and I'm just going to do something. This is very sacred, it's very holy, but I'm not going to push it or manipulate it, or it's not about my reputation. I want to give people a chance to make sure that you're born again. I want to tell you that I grew up in a home where my dad was an atheist, my mom agnostic, so there's no faith in the home. But as a five-year-old, I felt the presence of God came on me. I knew God was wonderful. I felt precious. And then the next 18 years, I was searching for that God. I was searching for that presence again. It was such an encounter, such a beautiful feeling of the goodness of God tangibly on my life. And I looked through many, many religions, and I didn't find God there. And I tried so difficult, so much as a Hindu, as strict and celibate and vegetarian in marriage and all of those things. And right in that temple one day, the presence of God came and said to me, look at those idols on the stage. And I was looking at some idols on the stage. He said, watch what I'll do. And he threw both of them over in front of my eyes. I'm not making this up. That happened. The fear of God hit me. I was convicted. I realized that I was wrong with God. I realized religion hadn't saved me. Religion just made me arrogant and self-righteous and prideful. And I realized I was on my way to hell. I knew it in my spirit. I knew it in my innermost being that I deserved judgment because of my arrogance against the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And I said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And he said, "I am Jesus. And I love you and I died for you. And I took your sins away at the cross. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come follow me." And in a Hindu robe, I said, "Jesus Christ, come into my life. I reject Krishna, Radharani, Rama, all these Hindu gods. I reject them. I take you as the truth." I was born again. That was 39 years ago. I've never backslidden, never turned away from God. I've been on fire for God for 39 years. I've been deeply in love with Him. You know what? I truly got saved. I didn't get a counterfeit conversion. I didn't just take, let me try you, Jesus. And there's a spirit of love, pleasure, and God's peace. And if you're not 100% sure, was I ever convicted? Did I ever see myself as a rebel against God? Did I ever repent, not just for, I'll just take Jesus to make me feel better, but did I repent because I realized how bad I've been to Him? How I've dishonored Him in my pride and arrogance. If you've never had that conviction, you've never realized what a rebel you were against God and your sin of unbelief in Jesus, then you need to get saved. Because you'll never be happy with a gospel that just says, try Jesus or take Jesus, He'll fix you up and He'll make you feel happy. No, friends, that's not what you come to do. You don't come to Him for that. You come because He's forgiven your sins and saved you from hell. And yes, He will fix you up and He will love you and help you. But the first step is you have to apologize. And if you want to make sure, you say, "Rob, if my heart stopped beating now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure. I don't know if I have a, I want to be sure. I want my heart to be circumcised. I want to open the doors of my heart to heaven and let the grace of God come into my life. And I want to be sure my name's written in the book of life in heaven. Today, I want to be sure that I am saved." Hey, tomorrow's only a date in a fool's calendar. Don't wait till tomorrow. Today, right now, while He's calling. If you say, "Rob, pray for me," it'd be my pleasure to pray for you. I will not embarrass you. I will honor you. But if you say, "Rob, pray for me, I want to be sure that I'm a believer. I want to be sure I know Christ Jesus as my Lord." Why don't you just lift your hand quickly and hold it up high. No one looking around. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just hold up your hand. God bless you. I see that hand over there. So wonderful. Responding to heaven. Anyone else? God bless you. I see your hand over there. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. 5, 6, 7 hands going up here. Let's pray for these people right now. I want you guys, this is so wonderful, friends. This is all you need to say according to the Bible. Let's all say it together. We're saved already, but so you're not trying to get saved again. But those who are putting up your hands, they just need to hear us praying with them. So they're just confessing faith in the middle of this house. Father, we thank you for every one of these that have raised their hands and said publicly, "I want to stand here today and receive Jesus into my life." What a glorious, Lord, it's the beginning of the rest of their life, alive in Christ Jesus, born from above. And so, Father, we thank you for the conviction of sin, of unbelief in Jesus that has touched their hearts, and they're responding now by faith. I want you to, those of you who raised your hands, to say this along with all of us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for salvation in Christ Jesus alone. Through His blood. And today, Lord, we apologize in Jesus' name for our sin of unbelief in Jesus. We believe on you, Lord Jesus. And Jesus, we confess you are Lord. And we believe in our hearts. God raised you from the dead. And with our heart, we believe. And with our mouth, we speak words of faith and declare we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for saving us, Lord. We believe in you. Now fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's say amen. Give Him a shout and a clap. Woo! Thank you, Lord. And so, those of you raised your hand, or you wanted to raise your hand, but you were a little bit too shy, but you said the prayer, why don't you tell someone in this church, one of their home group leaders or pastors, and just let them know so you can get a Bible, or get going on this, start feeding yourself on the Word of God. Let's just give Him thanks now, Father. Let's just lift our hands. Just lead us in that wonderful worship. It's a royal priest, God's ambassadors, people of the light. Father, we thank you for this church, Highway Church. We thank you for the mandate on it. It's so wonderful. Thank you, the light has come. Your glory is appearing over them with greater and greater favor and density, concentrated glory. Lord, that you're lifting this house up by your mighty hand. You are exalting them, Father. You are magnifying them. Father, we thank you for all kinds of advantages that flow out of your favor. We thank you, Lord God, so many glorious surprises are on their way and are landing on them now. Special, special, special blessings. Unusual. Even blessings they haven't asked for or expected or even prayed for. Things are going to come, Lord, because it's time for this house. It's time to see the favor of God go to another level. And so, Lord, Glenda and I just declare over them as friends of this house. We honor this house and we declare fresh bread from heaven. There's going to be even greater revelation flow. Freshness, Lord. We declare Psalm 133 over them. How good and pleasant it is when brethren, sisters live together in unity. We declare there's going to be one heart and that Highway will stand as one person in such a sense of honor to each other. Honor to Steve and Janet as the visionary leaders, together as a family. Father, I decree that they be strengthened out of the riches of your glory in the innermost soul of this church, the candlestick of this church, the superande, the testimony of this house. And to every individual would be the strength of the riches of glory imparted into their inner being. That Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith with such power. That together with one another, they would have power to discern what is the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of Christ. That this church would be filled with all the fullness of all the measures of God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what they could ask or think or imagine, according to the power that is at work within this house. That power of favor, that power of unity, that power of special advantages, that power of honor, that power of humility, that power of love for one another, the power of forgiving each other, the power of submitting and honoring to one another. Lord, we hold hands symbolically, Lord. The Lord loves you and the Lord shines His face on you. The Lord commands His blessing on you. The Lord is gracious to you and the Lord has given you His peace. But there's a signature that's so indelible imprinted into this house today, nothing will ever be able to remove it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a thanks. Thanks, Rob. What a beautiful revelation of the blood of Jesus.